Thank you, choir. May Christ keep all of us. Thank you, Marty. A couple of things before we begin. Make sure you pick up the book. We are on chapter 1 today, so you need to read chapters 1 and 2. Next week we'll be on chapter 2. A couple of things about the book. Use your brain. There are things in the book that I agree with. There are things in the book I don't agree with. That's okay. We're Methodist. We believe that we can use our brain to search scripture, to search, to think. God gave us this wonderful intellect to use. And let's have conversations. That's kind of what I'm going at here, is to use this for conversation starters, but to delve deeper into our love of Christ, into our service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? And you better hang on to your boots while you're at it. The slaughter is going to challenge us in how we look and perceive Jesus Christ. Second thing, if you've not signed up but would still like to come to the Bible study, come on, there's always room for one more. We'll bring another chair in. We'll be meeting in the Cross Connect class. It's always room. Come on in. I don't bite much. So come on in and join the class. Okay? Our scripture today comes from two passages. One is from the Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter, just one verse. Marty read it for us, but I'm going to come back to it, please. And today I'm using the New Revised Standard Version. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And turning now to the gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter, verses 23 through 24, again using the NRSV. Then he said to them all, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. This is the word of God for us, the beloved children of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to pray with me, please. Holy, holy Lord, we want to thank you for the gift of life today, for opening our eyes, letting us see the glory, the majesty of your creation. We thank you, O God, that we live in a country that allows us to worship with freedom, and for those who have provided that freedom for us, who willingly put their lives on the line that we may come to this house of worship without fear. We thank you, O God, that your word is living and true and provides us a path on which we may walk. We thank you, O God, that you are willing to challenge our preconceived notions and to rock our world with your truth. And, O Lord, in this moment, in this place, and in this time, come and send your fire to ignite our hearts so that we may see you and fall in love with you this day with a love that we've never known before. Because, Lord, we need it. We need your love. It is only by your grace that we can receive it, and it is only by your grace that we can live it. For there is no other way to wholeness and peace and to life but through your grace. Thank you, Lord. And right now, O God, lift up your cross and hide me behind it, for I do not wish to be seen. And Lord, if you need to, shut my mouth and sit me down. For I desire only that your worth be brought forth and that you be lifted up, that all people be drawn to you. because, Lord, you are great and mighty, worthy of all praise. Speak, Lord. Speak loud and clear, O Lord, through all the noise of our lives. Speak, Lord, to our hearts that need to hear. Speak, Lord, for we, your beloved children, are listening. Amen. Do you ever think of Jesus as being a rebel? No, he's a nice guy that we see on Sunday school. Y'all just got to hang with me. One of the things I like to do from time to time, not in this particular season of the year, is I like to take a drive, you know, and I like to go out on country roads and kind of get lost. You know, therefore, someone calls me, I say, I can't quite get there right now. You know, and I just love to go find the unbeaten path, just to drive and to think and to turn the radio off. And I've been known to actually turn the cell phone on mute from time to time, and just to find different ways to get to places. I don't know if you like to do that. I do. Back in the day when I rode my scooter, yes, I do have my motorcycle endorsement. Just picture that for a moment. I used to drive the back county roads of here, and one of the things I learned is always look for a road that had a double yellow line, because if you're on that, it's going to lead you someplace. It gets a little scary when the road doesn't have a line on it, and it gets real scary when there's no pavement, you know? But if there's a double yellow line, that road is going to take you to a major road eventually, you know? And so I never did worry when there was a double yellow line. I knew that this road was going to go someplace, that I would eventually wind up into a little town and eventually wind up into a bigger town, and lo and behold, I'd find my way back home. Well, that's kind of like the scripture, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I will say that I have always had a theological angst with this scripture, because of how this scripture has been used throughout history. It's been used to exclude people from the grace of God. You know, it's been used to say who's in and who's out. Let me just go ahead and say right now, that's not my job. God excludes nobody. Amen? God's love and grace is open to everyone. And my job, it's just to tell everybody about that. That's your job too. God's table, God's love, and God's grace is open to everybody. But this verse has been used throughout the recorded history of the church to say some people are in and some people are out. But that's because it's been misinterpreted. It's been taken out of context. This is one of the verses in the farewell discourse. Jesus has got his followers there, and he's telling them goodbye. These are his inner folks have been with him. He's trying to tell them it's going to be okay. I'm going to leave you for a while. I'm going to go to a place where you can't come right now, but you're going to know how to get there, is what he's saying. You've known me almost 3 years. I'm the way, I'm the roadmap for you. He's not talking about anything other than, I'm leaving you, but I'm the way, I'm the road. And how do you know that? Because I've been telling you the truth of God's love for 3 years. And I have come so that you can know of the life, God's life, to put on that life with skin and bones. Okay? The way here really means I am come to provide the unity with God, that unity that you have been created for and to seek, that unity that Christ has with God because Christ is God. And through Christ, we can experience that unity. We as Christians understand God's presence through the presence of Christ, the way. because Christ has taught us the truth of God's grace, the truth of the kingdom, and Christ has come so that we may experience life. Christian discipleship is a privilege, and sometimes we don't think that. Christian discipleship is a privilege, not a claim to superiority. Write this down. Christian discipleship is a privilege, not a claim to superiority. So this sets up one of the major tenets that Slaughter's getting at. And I agree with this. Slaughter tells us that we have no longer made Jesus contagious. In the early church, Jesus was this contagious movement that they had to talk about. They had to tell everybody about. They would leave meeting houses and just go out and talk about him. When was the last time you left this place and told somebody about Jesus? When was the last time on Monday morning you went to colleagues and you said, oh, I just got to talk to you about this man named Jesus? Not about this crazy lady who stands up on Sunday morning, okay? Not about what happened in Sunday school. I got to tell you about Jesus Christ. He is no longer contagious. We've made him fluffy and nice. Jesus was a rebel. He came to talk about things that were honest and true and that were revolutionary. We need to make him contagious. We need not keep him just in the house on Sunday. We need to make him about every part of our lives, every minute of every day. We need to spread him like we spread the cold virus. You know, we need to talk to everybody we know about this man who came to give us life. This man who came to tell us the real truth about God. We need to make him contagious. And Jesus taught us hard truths, but he did not promise easy living. I mean, let's look at what happened, folks, to him and the disciples. And if you think believing in Jesus means that you're all of a sudden going to be prosperous, then you ain't doing it right. Believing in Jesus will get you the hard truths, but it will not get you to easy living. Contrary to what you see on some things on TV. And in case you don't know, what's on TV ain't true. And what is on the internet is not always the truth. Just because they say it, don't make it true. Thank you. Okay? And once you get a hold of this contagious Jesus, then you can't just sit on your blessed assurances. You got to do something. Okay? Faith requires a response, an actual do something about it. It's the so what here, folks. If you say you believe in Jesus, if you say he's your Lord and Savior, then you got to do something about it. It's got to be a response. And that response is more than showing up here on Sunday, although I'm really glad to see you guys. Okay? But it's got to do something other than showing up. It requires a response. If you say you love Jesus, if you say he's your Lord and Savior, then he has got to have affected your life. He's got to have infected your life if he's contagious. And then from the Gospel of Luke, we read, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Actually, every day you've got to choose to pick up the cross. I mean, actually choose. Faith is a choice. Did you know that? You got to choose to believe in this Jesus. You got to choose to pick up that cross and expend yourself in the life of service for Jesus Christ. You got to put on a crucified mind, not a crusading mind. A crucifying mind, not a crusading mind. In other words, you got to live by kingdom values of humility, perseverance, service, of saying to others that you're going to give your life away because it is the ultimate gift of love. The cross was an expression of love. As horrible as that moment was, as humiliating as that moment was, as self-denying as that moment was, it was the ultimate expression of God's love. And we, as followers of the living Christ, must also take on that mindset that we are willing to die to self in order for others to live. That's what taking up our cross means. Is that we're willing to take on that mindset, the crucified mindset, not the crusading mindset. Slaughter says, Jesus did not come to start a religion, and for which I say amen. Instead, the rebel Jesus came with a renegade gospel to start a revolution that would be propelled by a countercultural community of people on planet Earth. Countercultural. When was the last time the church was countercultural to the world? When did we stop being different than the world? We should not be like everybody else, because the Jesus we serve is not like anybody else. One day I'm going to have to stop asking for these, right? We should be different than the country club, the social clubs, any other clubs. They will know us by our love. A love that the world will never, ever understand, because we have the love of the Savior. That's what's countercultural. A love that takes on the mindset of the living Christ. So here's my challenge for you this week. Do you have the courage, I'm talking courage, to follow the rebel Jesus? Do you? It's going to take a lot of courage to change your ways, to not follow the sanitized, nice Jesus, but to follow the rebel Jesus who stood against the culture and said, this is how the kingdom of God operates. Do you have that courage? I pray that as a body of Christ that we will stand up, rise up, and have that kind of courage. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. As we sing our closing hymn, our altar is open. If you wish to come and get on your knees and begin right now to have that kind of courage, our altar is open for prayer. If you need to say yes for the very first time to this rebel Jesus, our altar is open. If you wish to begin the process of joining in this faith community, our altar is open. Whatever you need, God stands ready through the amazing love and grace of Jesus Christ to walk with you. As we sing
397, I need thee every hour.